Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, one of the more interesting things to happen in the last 24 hours, well, about 8 hours ago, we were published in the Washington Times, our full-page open letter to Dr. James Dobson. That's extraordinary. And press releases have gone out to a couple hundred media outlets. But really extraordinary in how encouraging it is that a former Colorado Republican state chairman, that is the head of the Republican Party for Colorado, the former Colorado Republican state chairman, commends Colorado Right to Life for its open letter to Dr. James Dobson. That is extraordinary. And we have that former chairman here in studio, Steve Curtis. Welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Thank you, Bob. It's good to be here.
Steve, it's so great to have you here. And I could tell you, it feels like, you know, when you take a stand, sometimes you get beat up. And we've been getting beat up here and there. But so many people are coming forward to thank us for taking the stand about the Christian pro-life community going into moral relativism. You're one of those voices.
Well, one of the things that we learn in the political arena, and you know, you can learn it in life just by taking a stand on God's word, just about any time, any place. But one of the things you have to, if you're going to play in this arena, one thing that you have to understand is that it doesn't matter that sometimes you get beat up. You have to put that in perspective of what's the alternative, and the alternative in this case was to allow the lies, the deception, the self-serving nature of what Focus on the Family, National Right to Life, and groups like that are doing with the partial birth abortion issue.
Now, Steve, that you just said that, and I've been in the middle of this for weeks, actually for years. For 2 years, we've been trying to warn Focus on the Family and other pro-life groups about this. But you just put it very bluntly and sort of I just sort of cringed. But the sad truth is that for years, Christian pro-lifers have said to the pro-life industry that this partial birth abortion ban is a travesty. It doesn't have the authority to save one life. Millions of Christians are being misinformed and misled into believing that this has the authority to save lives and stop abortions. It does not.
Well, the pro-abortion industry couldn't have done this any better than the pro-life industry has done as a tool to get the millions and millions, tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars out of the pockets of well-meaning, God-fearing people that really, really have a heart for the unborn and wanted to see this barbaric procedure stopped.
Right. We want to save lives with our time, effort, and money.
Right. And if they've known, and we know that they've known, because, for example, you've told them face to face. We've been saying it for years.
Sure. Covenant News has published this from day one. Jim Rudd has published, and he's extremely well read on the internet, that this is a ban that is a facade because there is no authority to save a single innocent life.
Right. And so we know this, and we know that the people that continue to push this myth that something good has been accomplished by this ban. You know, first it was something good will be accomplished by the ban, and then it was something great happened when the Supreme Court upheld the ban, and then you started to point out the just the sick nature of what was written by that pro-abortion judge who for some ungodly reason was allowed to write the opinion supposedly upholding a ban on a form of abortion, which, again, makes no sense.
No, it's as though, and we've described this ad infinitum, but it's as though the Germans are lining the Jews up over mass graves and shooting them in the head, and they're saying, you know, this is really messy and it's ugly. So why don't we instead just bring them inside, keep them in the camp and gas them and incinerate them? And so they say, okay, let's do that. And we call that a pro-life victory.
Right.
It's a pro-life victory because we're not shooting them in the head. We're going to gas them instead. And the commandant because that really happened in history. I mean, that did happen where they were shooting them and that was too messy and ugly. So then they started gassing and incinerating them. So that's a pro-life victory.
Well, that's what they want everybody to believe. But unfortunately for them, the truth is coming out, and it will continue. I mean, if we don't see the type of response that needs to go out to the entire Christian community, that this actually ended up being a net negative in a big way. This was not a positive. And it's interesting to me the response of the people that are now having the truth about them and their stance broadcast all over the country and in some cases all over the world. It's interesting to me that their response is a political response and not a ministerial response. If they truly were concerned about the unborn, you wouldn't see the types of comments from David Osteen of National Right to Life or Kerry Gordon Earle at Focus on the Family, which just completely ignores the truth of this. There is nothing substantive about their responses. They just keep saying that it's a good thing, it's a good thing, it's a good thing, but they don't address anything. And it's the Adolf Hitler style of how do you campaign? Tell a lie, tell it often enough, tell it loud enough, and people begin to believe it.
Well, we have been begging people to respond to the substance of our warning. And that has been almost universally ignored, and instead people are focusing on the form or the style.
Bob, they can't. They can't respond to the substance because in doing so they expose themselves as liars and hypocrites. They can't.
Well,
they can't bring themselves to do that.
Well, let me quote to you in the current press release that's being put out by Colorado Right to Life, because the open letter is today in the Washington Times, which is an extraordinary accomplishment. This is an ad hoc coalition of pro-lifers, and this message is going around the world. The Washington Times, 109,000 circulation, daily circulation, 4,000 copies go to Capitol Hill. So the House, the Senate, and most of them are hardcore liberals, but they have staffers, especially the Republicans, who actually are pro-life. And this press release documents the false information, the false claims, and I'll quote to you from Kerry Gordon Earle in responding to us. It's on their website right now at citizenlink.com. She said that this recent decision outlaws the brutal killing of a nearly born fetus.
Which is a lie.
That's a lie.
In fact, it's a step-by-step manual on how to do it legally. This is what our pro-life Supreme Court has been reduced to. Or always was, and now we're starting to see that. Of course, some of us have seen that for a long time. You never believed that Roberts and Alito were going to be great pro-life justices based on their prior rulings. Nor did I.
Yeah, that's right. And this ruling is a brutally wicked ruling that's actually a partial birth abortion manual, like you just said, and it does not ban partial birth abortion. It modifies it by 4 inches. It used to be you pull the baby out to the neck and kill it. Now they say you pull the baby out to the navel. That's a 4-inch modification. And they say you could still pull the baby out to the neck and kill it under various circumstances.
Correct.
So this is not pro-life. This is wickedly brutal and evil. And so this press release that we're going to post at kgov.com after the show today, this press release goes through and documents the increased misinformation. And when these serious accusations are made against the ministry, when somebody makes an accusation against me that I got it wrong, I take that as serious as a heart attack. And I look and I document and I fact check. We fact check these press releases in the open letter through 100 people, literally 100 people check this stuff before it goes out. And I'm not exaggerating, 100 people. And we say, find the errors, find the mistakes. And we fact check our own stuff. Focus on the Family has a $150 million annual budget, and they put out absolute deception. Another quote in this press release. Here's now Tom Hess. He's a Citizen Link editor. And so he's got this article, and he is reporting about Colorado Right to Life and how wrongheaded it is. And listen to this quote. He's reporting, Tom Hess, editor, Citizen Link, reporting that perhaps, quote, perhaps Colorado Right to Life would prefer that viable babies would continue to be killed without anesthetics, unquote.
Right.
What does that have to do with the partial birth abortion ban, the partial birth abortion ruling? That quote implies to their people giving financially to Focus That implies that this ban saves viable babies.
Right.
That's what he's telling them.
Right.
It doesn't.
Well, and the sister to that type of argument is the incremental approach, argument that we've heard for years. That approach or that line of thought is contingent upon believing that incremental progress has been made by the same groups, National Right to Life, Focus on the Family, the types of legislation, because that's really all they're involved in, let's face it. Let's face it. That's 99% of what they do in the pro-life movement is they get behind the GOP, they play politics with this issue, and they make certain of one thing, that it will never accomplish anything because it is not in the nature of the politician or to his benefit to really accomplish anything. If they don't have problems to solve, they don't have jobs.
So, in other words, partial birth abortion has been a boon to Republican quasi-pro-life candidates because that's how they fundraise.
Well, and it's not just the candidates. It's the party in general gets a big boost out of this for the very reason it allows them to put the abortion issue out there in some form and offer a solution to that one specific thing.
That has no authority to save not even one baby's life, and pro-lifers by the millions have given $250 million by our estimate, $250 million raised for partial birth abortion when the givers, the people sending the money, have been misinformed.
Right.
That's wrong.
Well, and they think it allows them to look reasonable to people that are pro-abortion on this issue by saying, well, can't we at least agree on this? And winky, winky, guess what? It really won't do anything, so you don't have to worry about it.
Well, so in responding to us, and we're making these substantive claims, and Focus on the Family and others, they're not taking them seriously. And they're simply like Carrie Gordon Earle here. She says, basically, and you could go to citizenlink.com and Google this, that this decision outlaws, quote, the brutal killing of a nearly born fetus. That's just not true.
She also says that it helps the effort. I'm paraphrasing from her response last week, that it helps on many different levels. And my response to her would be, Carrie, prove one.
Prove one.
Show us one.
Prove one. For example, they say there's no health exception. Now, that is such a perversion. It's as though we're with Alice in Wonderland.
It really is.
That we're in the Twilight Zone. Because no health exception, this is what it used to mean. It used to mean we want the right to kill the baby, and here's a health exception, so we're glad now we could kill the baby. That's what it meant.
Right.
Today, the pro-lifers have said, look, there's no health exception, and they can still kill the baby, but we're glad there's no health exception.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't even have meaning. It is a lie to say that there is a health exception victory in this ruling because the Supreme Court justices say you can kill the baby any way you want to practically. So what do you mean a health exception? Just kill it and have the abortion.
Well, and even when you say practically, that caveat there is that the Supreme Court has now said it really doesn't matter how they do it. They can still do the procedure the way they used to do it so long as it was not the intention of the abortionist to do that. So, and we know that intention cannot be proved.
Right.
Well, cannot go into a court of law and say, I read the man's mind as he was doing it, and his intention was to always do it the wrong way.
And not only this is an abortionist, and it's his intention that's relevant. And what are we going to put federal marshals in the abortion clinic and watching these late-term abortions? And what are they going to do? They're going to say, well, the abortionist said the woman was over-dilated, but we're going to challenge that.
Yeah, and
I mean, it's absurd.
And go back after the fact and try to prove that. See, they know it can't be.
Right.
They know it can't be proved. Why would you need a health exception? And why would these people make this ridiculous, simplistic argument when the Supreme Court lays out a manual in front of you and says, step one, do this. Step two, do this. And by the way, if you botch up step two, don't worry about it. We got you covered over here.
We got you
don't,
covered.
There's no health exception because there doesn't need to be a health exception.
Because
when
you killed the kid.
The Supreme Court just made it legal.
Right.
Just made it legal.
Right. Partial birth abortion was not outlawed by this ruling. it was regulated, just like a dialysis procedure might be regulated. It's not outlawed, but they can't stick dirty needles in your arm. And they regulate the burial of human remains. You have to show respect for a cemetery, for a gravestone. That's regulated, and that's respect. And so this is what our pro-life leaders are saying. Look, the ruling talks about respect. It's wickedly brutal and evil. Let's go to the phones in Chicago. Tim, you're on with Steve Curtis of LifeCommercials.com and Bob Enyart.
Thanks for having me on. Bob, I called Focus on the Family today. Actually, I made two phone calls. I made a point to be completely respectful. I just really wanted to get a feeling for what the people that worked there in the correspondence department and that, what they felt about the ruling. And they kept referring me back to the website, of course, and I explained to them, yeah, I know what your statement says. That's why I'm calling, because there's a lot of conflicting reports about what the ban actually does and doesn't do, and I wanted to get your response on it. And they absolutely refused to respond to me on a personal level. I actually asked them if they were forbidden, you know, by their company policy, by if they had to separate their personal beliefs from their work beliefs, and they said no. And so obviously I asked them why they were so reluctant to share their beliefs with me.
Mm-hmm.
I explained to them that I support a couple ministries, and if I called your ministry, Bob, you know, your mother, Connie, or anybody that answered the phone would be more than willing to share their beliefs on the ban with me or their beliefs as a Christian. And
oh, yeah, and explain, here's what this partial birth abortion ruling does.
Absolutely.
But the reason that there is now a company-wide policy not to answer that question is because there's culpability, there's guilt, because their employees, Focus on the Family has over 1,000 employees, their employees thought that this ban outlawed late-term abortion. Yesterday, Steve Curtis, yesterday I had a conversation, not a public conversation, with a pro-life activist, a significant pro-life activist. And I said, do you know that millions of Christians have been misled to think that this ban outlaws late-term abortion? And this pro-life activist said, my mother thought the same thing, and I just had to correct her. So, I mean, here's somebody who doesn't believe me, and this nationally known activist says, oh, my mother believed the same thing,
right?
And I'm a nationally known pro-life activist, and I'm the one that she learned about this from, and I misled my own mother.
Right. Well, a lot of us, years ago, until we read the initial ban, I can remember as the chairman of the Denver County Republican Party back in 96 saying, oh, yeah, we got to get this banned. It's a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And then I was state chairman and we were saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at some point in between, you know, in that last 10 years, I wised up. You know, somebody told me that this thing isn't what it is. And I remember when I was on the board of Colorado Right to Life back then,
right,
we were having all kinds of discussion. It seemed like every time National Right to Life got behind an issue, we spent weeks and weeks and weeks deciding how we were not going to support their view because
right.
We knew inherently it was wrong.
Yeah, because Tim from Chicago, Tim, these pro-life regulations, they're actually child-killing regulations. They end with, and then you could kill the baby. That's how they end. So in this partial birth abortion ban, it says that if you pull the baby out to the navel, then you could kill the baby. So you're pulling them feet first. You pull the baby out to the belly button, then you could kill the baby. But that has to be your intent. So if it wasn't the abortionist's intent and the baby slips out right to the neck, he could do a standard partial birth abortion.
Yeah, and I explained that to them, and they didn't want to hear about it. And I'll let you go, Bob. I just wanted to say I'm a submarine sailor for many years, and I consider myself to be a man's man. And I'm not ashamed to admit that I've wept more than in the last 4 weeks than I have in probably 10 years of my life, and it's just devastating.
I could relate to that, Tim. Thank you.
Thanks for all you
much.
Do, Bob. And I'm glad to see that I listen on the podcast. So I don't get to listen live.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see that you got in the Washington Times, and I really love the electronic version of the plot. So.
All right. Thank you so much, Tim. Boy, do I appreciate that. Hey, Steve, Tim says, tears, the other side of this debate, I've probably asked 100 people, have you read the ruling? No. Our side, scores of people on our side yes, I've read the ruling. Everyone should read the ruling. The people who are angry at us for our open letter to Dr. Dobson, which I believe is utterly respectful, it actually begs him that we want to follow your lead, Dr. Dobson.
Right.
But don't take us down this path of moral relativism where you approve of judges who rule to kill the innocent.
Well, and this is what you've been very consistent on for over 2 years now. You know, was it a couple of years ago you first went down to Focus and gave that presentation live? And, of course, they agreed with you. But then they turned right around and continued with the deception. Mm. It's a huge moneymaker. It's a huge moneymaker. And, you know, it's we don't want to be, we don't want to feel so betrayed that we feel like that was the goal at the outset of groups like Focus and National Right to Life. But when now confronted with the truth and exposed, and now they hunker down into this bunker mentality, and they start with the political answers, which are non-answers. They're just more lies coming out on top of more lies and more lies and more lies. That's their response to this. What we're all feeling here, and the reason that Tim in Chicago just said, you know, I've wept over these last 4 weeks. I know that, you know, you told us one day that you were out in the parking lot throwing up. I remember the night at 12:30 a.m. that I was up reading the ruling that I had downloaded off the Supreme Court website. I was so angry. I felt like the world at that moment for me had just gone over the edge and everything had gone so mad.
Right.
We're feeling betrayed. This is no different than a spouse who loves her husband and finds out that he's been out running around.
Yeah. It is so sickening to read this ruling. It is like, now I've done a lot of reading about the German euthanasia program. The Germans introduced this idea of killing people who are sick because of mercy. Not that they introduced it, but that was a major push that led to the Nazi Party from the 1890s on. And when you read that stuff, you have a visceral reaction in your gut. It is sickening. And so the Christian pro-lifers are celebrating this ruling. And so I start reading through it, and it couldn't be more brutally wicked and vile and evil. And what I realized is our pro-life Christian leaders didn't care. It was irrelevant what it said. It did not matter because they've been fundraising on this $250 million as a pro-life industry, $250 million. It didn't matter what it said. They were going to praise it, and they praised the ruling. And normally when praising the ruling, they praised the judges.
Right.
They celebrated this as justice, righteousness, godliness. And this is a brutally wicked, vicious, evil ruling. And these judges, they have eternal souls. And they're being given a false sense of security by our Christian leaders that they're doing a good thing. If this ruling had said, you take the baby and you turn on a blender and you start to chop them up in your blender, they would have praised this ruling because that's what it says.
Right.
It's that brutally wicked. It doesn't matter to them.
They don't care. They have every opportunity. The moment that this was made known to them, because obviously they didn't read it. They didn't read it. And the moment that you brought this to their attention, they had the perfect opportunity to go on the air, flip on the switch, and say, folks, our pro-life judges, we've just proven that they're not pro-life, our pro-life president, who put these people in and goes around celebrating the fact and gloating over the fact that I don't even ask the abortion question.
Right. That you know? Is George W. Bush's first campaign promise every election cycle is I do not care whether a judicial nominee is pro-abortion or pro-life. That's his first promise he makes. And he says, I have no litmus test.
And he's obviously honest. Yeah.
He's obviously honest. And Carrie Gordon Earle, spokesperson for Focus on the Family, she was quoted in the media a few months ago saying, it's not how they vote on abortion that really matters. It's whether they're strict constructionists.
Right.
So we don't care if they're child-killing officials as long as they're strict constructionists.
Right.
And Rudy Giuliani, in the last Republican primary debate, he said, hey, look, the Supreme Court might decide to keep Roe v. Wade on the books by strict constructionism. And he said, if they do that, then fine, I'm a strict constructionist. So we give cover to the child killers by turning this into a moral relativist issue?
Well, we come up with all these ridiculous little slogans like strict constructionist or originalist or whatever as code to mask the reality of what's going on.
I've got a quote on theologyonline.com last week, a Christian pro-life leader who's opposed to us, and he actually said that if the Supreme Court last month, if they had overturned Roe v. Wade, now this guy runs one of the best-known pro-life websites in the country. He's been on the web for over 10 years. He said if the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade last month, that would have been wrong, and we should have opposed that because that would have been judicial activism. This is where we are at.
Right. I want to challenge Kerry Gordon Earl and Jim Dobson and Tom Minery, everybody at Focus, David Osteen, everybody at National Right to Life, to prove one thing they're saying about those of us that are exposing this. I want to also tell the rest of us, I wrote this in my letter to Colorado Right to Life yesterday. Our common work on behalf of the unborn is far too important to submit to a cottage industry of self-congratulating people who have reduced the very existence of human life to a second-tier political issue.
A second-tier political issue. And that is what has happened. When Gary Bauer could say a judge who votes to keep partial birth abortion legal is doing a good thing because he's submitting to precedent, that is pro-life Christian leaders making do not murder a second-tier political principle. That's what they're doing.
Well, Satan's move against God way back in the beginning is also precedent. Should we be celebrating that?
No, of course not. Steve Curtis, thank you very much. It is an honor to have the former state chairman of the Colorado Republican Party congratulating Colorado Right to Life for this open letter to Dr. Dobson. Steve, thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
May God bless you. And our website is kgov.com. That's kgov.com. Colorado Right to Life. Hey, if you agree with what they're doing, it's time to maybe sign up to give them $100 a month. They need it. They need it big time. And Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. Maranatha.